If you remember two Sundays ago, we started this out with the exhortation that Lee had given us one night, right? About what God was calling us into this year, and how it was hinged around there's really nothing new, that God had prepared the harvest for us to walk into and to begin to reap. And he had not only prepared the harvest for us and called us to the harvest and prepared us to reap the harvest, but he had been growing us in grace all of these years. He had been teaching us and growing us in our praise of him and revealing to us that it is the way that we enter into his presence, and that it's ultimately his presence and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives that accomplishes that. It's not absolutely necessary, and that he desires, the Holy Spirit desires to have that intimacy with us again, where we linger with him, where we wait with him, and we hear him and we move in what the Holy Spirit leads us. And so we started out there, and we started just talking about the race that's set before us. And then the Abudes built on that during our Thursday night meeting, and they didn't even know, because they didn't get to go to that Sunday school. But then,
what was that word that they said?
The word that they said?
Tenacious.
Thank you. Okay. Yeah. So that's good. So they were talking about, they kind of started out talking about the race, but then they were talking about the tenacity with which we pursue, and they were stirring us up in our faith to hold on in faith, to continue to walk in faith. And we've been hearing this from the pulpit as well. And so then last week, one of the verses they used was 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. And so last week we continued on in this, and we talked through that verse and some of what that means. And we talked about that steadfast, that immovableness, and that it's about us being steadfast and immovable on the will of God and the will of God in our lives. And we talked about the work of the Lord, that it's not our work, that it's his work. He chooses the work. And that we are fellow workers with him. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians 3, that we're fellow workers with God. That's an incredible thing. And so if it's his work, one, we don't choose it ourselves. We don't decide on any given Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, that, well, this is what I'm going to do, and I'm just not up for doing that. And also, that when we walk in that work, we're assured of the reward, being the reaping, the harvest, right? That it will come, because it's his work. And God is not going to work on anything that is not going to bring about his good and perfect will and glorify his son. And so we talked about those things. And so we were kind of coming towards the end, and there's a couple other things that I wanted to pull out of that verse. One of the verses we talked about, as we talked about all that work and everything, is we talked about Mark 16:20, and Mark 16:20, and it says, "And they," the disciples, that is, "went out." So this is right after Christ had ascended. "They went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by accompanying signs." And so we just talked about how that verse encompasses so much of what we had talked about, that these guys, they started about the work. They were steadfast and immovable. But here we go, let's go. And they started walking out in the work. That work wasn't wholly revealed of exactly where to go and what to do each day, but God was doing that in them. He was leading them. He was guiding them. He takes Philip, he puts him on the road with the Ethiopian, and then, to make sure that Philip can accomplish his work, as soon as the baptism is over, bam, he translates him. He sends him somewhere else, right? I got another work for you now. But they went everywhere, and they were about it, because that's one of the things it says, always abounding, right? 1 Corinthians 15:8. And so it says they went everywhere, always abounding. And it says, while the Lord worked with them. And that's awesome. The Lord worked with them. And of course, we know he worked with them through the work of the Holy Spirit. And so... couple other words, though, that I want to pull out of that 1 Corinthians 15:58. And so it says, "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in you, in the Lord, your labor is not in vain." And so one of the things that struck me about this verse is we prepare to do this year. And that's my heart, and I believe is the Lord's heart, is that we would set this as our vision for this year. All those things God has put into us and prepared for us, and we would take this verse, the things that he led us through last year, and we'll look at those verses again in Colossians, but then this year that we would be about this. But he says, knowing. And to me, I think what Paul is, one of the things he could be telling us here is knowing, in that Paul understands that there are going to be things that seek to move us, that seek to deviate us from this, or to not be steadfast in what the Lord has called us to. And so he says, knowing. And he realizes that amongst other thoughts, this will be a battle against us working in the Lord. And in this case, he points out vanity, right? And guys, this is easy for us. That it's, you know, even this morning, we were practicing in choir, and I started to have this thought of, and it's a side thought, but I was thinking, I don't know, is this really bearing fruit? Is this really, you know, doing what it ought? And we can have times, especially when it's hard, right? When it gets hard, and it's about to get way harder for us. The Lord's been speaking that to us. We see it in His Word. We know it's coming. And we're going to ask the question at some point, what's the point? Is it worth it today? Is it worth it to go through this? If our minds, our natural minds will always do this. They will do a cost-benefit analysis without us even thinking about it, right? They're going to say, well, here's the cost of what I have to do today. And if the benefit is only that I get to pray with somebody, but I have no earthly idea what it does for them, you know, if the benefit is only that I meet with somebody for 5 minutes, but I've got to drive an hour to meet with this guy for 5 minutes. And we begin to do this cost-benefit analysis. We begin to figure out, no, but the Lord put that in our heart. The Lord dropped some. The Lord, the Holy Spirit impressed something upon us. And so that is one thought that will begin to try and move us away from the will of God, that will try and begin to cause us to do something else. And even if the something else we do seems good, seems right, seems holy, it's not what He was wanting to do. It's not His work. And so it still is a detriment to the kingdom of God. It's still a detriment to us in the end. And so that is a thought that would come up. But what are other thoughts? What are other things? What are the knowing that Paul is talking about? When we know this, knowing that none of it is in vain, or what are the other thoughts that a knowing of what God has called us to can help us and can guard us against?
Well, I guess on the same side of the sword, or the other side of the sword, but today, you're talking about doing a work that the Lord has prompted you to do, but at the same time, we almost look at that a lot of times because that's the image of being the spiritual thing that God wants us to be. But at the same time, we all serve many roles now that God has called us to do. And it's not our calling to be the mother or the father, but you know, God has called us to be that, and we need to fulfill our roles as that in our work.
Yep.
And many times people will notice the difference in our lives because we're in doing the same things, but because we're allowing the Lord to work in our lives, we present a different, you know, projection, and that's Christ inside of us versus nature, which is what they see in everyone else.
Yeah. Amen. I know one for me, and maybe this will trigger some other thoughts. I know one for me is, and it's not really it is a thought, I guess in a way, but it's just tiredness. Well, look, I've done enough. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've done enough today. You know, I've done enough this week. I've done enough this month. It's my time to take a break. I deserve a break. But there's a knowledge in God. And that was Colossians 1:29, right? That when I'm exhausted, I'm going to be exhausted, but He provides, you know, so there's these things that rise up in our life. And for me, that's a big one, you know, especially as I get older, you know, there's days and sometimes, you know, the weeks get really crazy because it's work and then it's church. And then I go home and, you know, just helping around the house and stuff. And I'm not complaining right now to you guys. It's not a complaint, but I'll sit back at some point and go, well, I'm done, you know, and I can feel it. I can feel the Lord saying, call this guy, you know, call so-and-so, talk to him. And I'm like, God, I do not want to talk to anybody right now. especially if it's one of those conversations I know is going to go way longer than I intended, right? And so I'm like, I don't want to do it, and I'll just stop. Huh? No.
You call him and say, I have 10 minutes.
Right, or and so I'll just stop, and I'll just be like, you know what, that's enough, and I'll say, and I'll tell myself, yeah, I'll get to that, you know, tomorrow. Man, I've been moved, right? I've been moved off the will of God. I'm no longer steadfast in what he's called to. I'm no longer abounding in the work of the Lord. I've shut it off. Go ahead.
I was just thinking kind of in that vein, maybe sometimes we also kind of regulate how much God can use us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because we doubt that he'd want to use us more.
Amen.
So let's just say that you, Sarah, get up there and you testify, and man, God moves. You're like preaching. And then on Monday, you know, you sleep in a little bit, like, or, you know, you're like, well, I'm just praise God for yesterday. And praise God, he did use you yesterday, but like, who told you that you could tell God how much he could use your life?
Amen. Amen.
What makes you think that he doesn't want to use you in an even greater way today? You know?
Amen.
And maybe sometimes just kind of like, we're like, yeah, well, God used me. You know, that was great. He's going to rest me, let me cool down a little bit, and then, you know, he's going to use me another way. Maybe it won't be in the same format, but wow.
Amen.
Like,
amen.
Are we really going to regulate how much glory God can get from our lives?
Amen.
Isn't that your thought vanity itself? Like, you know, the fact that he used us and the fact that he won't use us, or the fact that he's going to use me again,
right?
That is vanity.
And yeah, and I think there's another, you bring that up, makes me think there's another aspect to that, and that is, you know, not just not continuing that, but never stepping into it to begin with, right? Who am I? What am I? How can I be used? I don't have a gift. You know, there may be a time that you're in service, and boy, the Spirit's welling up within you, and you feel a word coming out, and you're like, oh, no, no, no. That's Leah's thing. You know, that's it. That's Evan Pyle's thing. You know, that's not me. Can't. Or it may be that it just keeps you from going and praying for somebody, or going and encouraging somebody and saying something to them, or whatever it is, because, well, I that's not me. That's not what I do. I can't do that. And again, we have a knowledge. There is a knowing, right? That again, it's the Word of God tells us, right? That we are all knit together in this body. We are all ligaments and joints nourishing one another. We all have been given gifts of some sort. It's not do you have a gift? It's not will you be given a gift? It's that they are given. And so walk out, move, do it. Even if it is a one use gift for one time at some point in time that the Lord just pours out. And so amen. Amen. So many thoughts that can come against us. And Paul, the way he says this, you know, he gives it as a he wants us to combat that by knowing the Word of God, knowing his promises, knowing who the Lord is, knowing that it's his work and that he will accomplish it. And so he says, knowing that in the Lord, your labor, and that word labor there, that takes us back to Colossians 1:29. It's slightly different, but it comes from ultimately from the same root word. And that's going back to that exhaustion. It's that toiling. This word particularly here, and this is interesting because this is us now. So it's a little different than Colossians 1:29, just a flat out exhaustion. This one means intense labor united with trouble and toil. And guys, that's where we're headed. That's what's coming right now. Our labor that's coming this year in 2021 and every year beyond, should we continue on? It is going to be united with trouble and toil. And so whether it's the mundane troubles of the days, our kids and our, you know, the kids are, I don't know, our kids are trouble sometimes. But just the trouble of having to, you know, chase the kids and work with the kids, or our work, or our, whether it's those mundane things, or whether it's the real attack of the enemy and the troubles that he will bring against our lives, the trouble that our government will surely soon begin to bring against our lives. That's what we're walking into. And Paul here says, knowing that this labor that is going to be combated at every turn, that's going to have troubles with it at every turn, it's going to have toil with it at every turn, that we don't think it's in vain. Because that labor is going to get harder. It's not just going to be, the overcoming our tiredness and those things, it's going to get harder and harder. But Paul says, specifically calls this out and uses this word to say, no, we're going to continue to abound in the work of the Lord. We're going to continue to be steadfast and immovable. That gives me hope. Gives me hope for myself because I know my weakness. Well, I see some of my weakness. Thankfully, I don't know it all yet. But I think sometimes, Lord, wow, I mean, if I get tired just doing this, what happens when they really come against my life? What happens when they really... And so... So I'm thankful. This gives me confidence in the Lord that He's going to do this. He's going to work this. And so in that, and then that word vain here that He used, it just means fruitless and without effect. And so, and guys, we may not see the fruit right now, but Paul says, don't worry about it, whether you see the fruit or not. That's not our business. That's the vine dresser's business. That's his work. So we don't worry about that. We go about his business and about what he tells us to do and how he tells us to go out into the field and labor. And then he's going to bring in all the fruit. And we can be assured it's not going to be fruitless. It's not going to be of no effect. And so when you step back and you think, well, that was worthless, you know, that had no, don't worry. That may, whatever you did just then, it may be a work for 5 years down the road. And so hallelujah. So I'm going to bring us back to, I'm going to read these verses in this order and just call us to this again. So Colossians 1:29, for this I toil, and that means to work to the point of exhaustion. For this I work myself to the point of exhaustion, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. And the awesome thing is he powerfully works that within us. We don't do it. We don't get up and do something to generate that energy within us, to generate the energy of God within our own lives. He does it. And then Colossians 2:18, holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with the growth that is from God. And I believe God did a lot of this for us last year. In young married couples, in our church as a whole, it's grown. I see people being the joints and ligaments with one another that never did it before, that never stepped out and walked over and prayed with somebody or spoke an encouraging word or called somebody. I see it more and more, and God is doing this in us. And then it's bringing us to this year, to this time and the time going forward where we go after the harvest, we walk in the grace that he's given us and he's taught us, and we pour that grace out upon others and that we stand firm in our faith, and we're stirred up in our faith for God to do greater still in us and through us, and to praise him and to be in that intimacy with him. And it brings us to this, and that is, therefore, now, this time, this year, moving forward, my beloved brothers, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. And so... It brings me back to there's a couple of verses that have been coming up over the last couple of weeks, and I'll just read these as continued encouragement in this, and that is Matthew 24:44. He says, therefore, Jesus speaking, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. And that's kind of the context of this, is we're here. We're in the last moments. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master has set over his household to give them their food at the proper time? Now, guys, we don't know all that is part of the faithful and wise servant's duties that the master has left behind. We have it in his word. We have things that he points out, and he will certainly guide us and lead us in that. But one of the things he says here is, it says he set them over his household to give them their food at the proper time. So I at least know one thing that faithful and wise servant's supposed to be doing, and that is nourishing the body, right? Feeding the body, feeding one another, helping one another. And he says, blessed is that servant from whom his master will find so doing when he comes. And then a verse, I can't remember, I think this came out, I think Lee, yeah, this was from Lee. I don't remember which service it was, but he was kind of basing this out of Acts 4:33. It may have been this Wednesday, and it just struck me. And it says, and with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. That kind of builds upon Mark 16:20, where they went out and the Lord was working with them, and they went everywhere. And it kind of builds on that. It's you know, after Pentecost, of course. And so I'll just read this real quick. So, because this is what I want us to do. This is what I want us to be stirred up in. And Lee was talking about that being found doing, right? Us always abounding. We could apply it in that same way. And he said, here's some things I always tell people. And he says, be found doing. Be found doing these things, being a good steward of whatever he's given you. Use it anytime and all the time. That it's just as Andrew was alluding to, it's not just, oops, here and then, okay, well, that's done. Use it all the time. Look for the opportunities to be beneficial. So find some way. Don't just come and that is an important part. We talked about this last year when we talked about being knit together. We talked about it last week when we talked about always abounding in the work of the Lord and knowing what the work of the Lord is, and that is being there. If you're not there, and I mean here in this body, in all of the various opportunities, and I don't mean all of them all the time, I just mean in giving yourself to that, well then you've already missed half the battle, and so you've already lost out there. So be there, but look for opportunities. When you are there, look for those opportunities to be beneficial.
I was just thinking about that, like looking for those opportunities, like say again, like if I was at home with my kids, you know, like I can still look for those opportunities by just considering the body, you know, at home, and like thinking Amen. About the people maybe in our class or just our whole church. And like I don't just have to be at Amen. Church on a Sunday or Wednesday to give someone a word of knowledge Amen. Or pray for them, you know, like mm-hmm. the Lord can do that. And we don't need to be limited to think that he can only move in those Amen. Ways in the church building. Like I can, Lord might give me something for Anna, like, hey, the Lord just really wanted me to pray for you right now.
Amen.
Whatever it is, you know, but just to be, and we can't make it happen, and we don't have to stress, and it's just one day at a time, but just this each day, like, Lord, what do you want? And just, like, look for those opportunities by just considering, like, how is everybody, you know, I wonder how James and Jennifer are doing,
Amen.
You know, or just whatever, you know, just think Amen. About the body, and he'll do the rest. You know?
Amen. And I see so many of y'all excelling in that. I do. I see all the time. I see you guys fellowshipping together throughout the weeks and ministering to other, and I hear stories, you know, and I hear testimonies of just things. And so I see that happening. But it's funny is a lot of those same people that I see doing that all the time out there, that when we get here, that it's like a step back all of a sudden. And sometimes I understand that. Sometimes it's we need to be ministered to, right? But I will say that I often find times where I'm at my neediest, that if I hear the Lord and I just begin to pour out, to give whatever I've got left, that's when he overwhelms me, you know, and fills me yet again. And so, say amen, inside, outside, all the time. Amen. Live the desires of your heart. And so, you know, live the desires of your heart. And he talks about, you know, how the Lord gives us the desires of our heart. He says he gives us the desires of our heart. And he just said, you know, if it's biblical and it glorifies God and or it edifies the body, right? You know those things. And so if you know that, then do it, right? Follow the desires of your heart. And then do what you have faith to do. And Paul tells us that, to whatever measure of faith you have, then do it. And it doesn't have to be somebody else's measure of faith. It doesn't have to be as great as what somebody else is doing. If somebody else has a different measure of faith and you're like, wow, oh my goodness, look at what they're doing. I can't do that. That's fine. He didn't say do it to his measure of faith or their measure of faith. He said do it to your measure of faith. Whatever the Lord's put in you and you hear it and you go, okay, Lord, and you do it. And so he said that. The callings, and this is something else I want to exhort us in. Lee gave... And it's something I was actually going to try and write up to the group and send out. And I'm just terrible at trying to get my thoughts on paper. And so I always struggle. I start and then I'm like, oh, this is terrible. I can't, this doesn't make any sense except to me. But Lee kind of alluded to this during the meeting we had as well. And he said, so I just wanted to bring out, this isn't what he said, but I'm just going to talk about this for a second. The callings of God and the commands of God don't change. But so much of the circumstances in our lives do, right? And so we have kids. Boy, that's a big change. That's a massive change. Our jobs change. Our physical bodies change. It could be something tragic. It could be that we just get old and we just get tired faster. You know, I need a 30-minute power nap every day. And And so I'm going back to kindergarten. I love it. I miss that. I want that nap that I so greatly hated back then. Our interests change. We just, our likes and dislikes, they change over time. We have things come in like COVID, right? These external things that come in. All of these things come. But the calling of, and when I say the calling of God, don't get me wrong. Can God move us different in a calling? Can He? Yes, absolutely. But the callings of God and His commands, they don't change. And when I say the callings of God, think about, and sometimes it can be very severe. I'm not just talking about a slight inconvenience. It can be huge. But think about Joseph and what happened to him, all that happened to him after God had called him, after God had clearly showed him. Years, years and years and years. But God never changed. God didn't say, well, okay, forget it. We're going to do something different. Moses, all the trouble the Israelites brought him. You know, I often think about the Israelites in relation to our kids, you know, and just it seems like it's a constant battle, right? That they're against us in every way, you know, that they're working against us, conspiring against us to make our lives miserable sometimes. And so, but Moses and that, and even when Moses suffered the consequence of his disobedience at that one time, and he didn't even have the reward of walking into the promised land any longer, he was still immovable. He was steadfast in the work of the Lord and what God had called him to. And David, you know, being made king as a boy, and yet, and then not only all the external factors come, but the internal factors of his own heart, his own sin, his own life, and yet it never moved or changed the call of God or the commands of God in his life. And so the question is, will we let those circumstances change or lead us to disregard our calling and the commands of God? Will we allow it to, as David Owens talked about last night, we will allow it to breach our consecration, right? To break up the consecration that God, that calling, that consecration where he set us apart. Will we allow it to breach that and to change that? And we've heard this multiple times in the last few weeks. But I like the way David put it last night, because we've heard this a phrase like this. But David said it last night. He said, if you can't live for God when it's convenient, you definitely won't live for him when it's illegal. And so in 1 Corinthians 15:58, Paul is telling us it's coming. The trouble's coming. The work is going to get harder. The work is going to be combined with trouble and toil. And so what are we going to do? And I just challenge us in that all of those circumstances. So when we have the kids, guys, I'm going to tell you, and I'm not saying this in a condescending or an arrogant way, because, you know, experiences are different. I know that. But what I do know is that Robin and I's experiences has allowed us to see the mighty work of the grace of God, and that it does not fail, to where I am assured, both in that and in his word, that whatever circumstance comes into your life, that the grace of God will work in such a way where you do not have to lose the calling of God in your life. You do not have to then disregard the commands of God. And I say this in simple things like the gathering together, like the encouraging one another, the things that we grow so tired and weary in, or we think that we can't do, or we don't have time to do, those things that we can and we should. And we can't grow weary in these things. And so so I don't say in a condescending, arrogant way, but, you know, and Lee was very pointed in what he said in our meeting, but that your kids shouldn't hold you up. They should not hold you up, you know. And, you know, to say if the Lord has you here or has you there, whether it be Sunday school or Wednesday nights or whatever, or maybe it's after a service and you just know, man, I'm supposed to be ministering. I'm supposed to be doing something. Your kids are not, they don't alter the call of God and the commands of God. They don't. And bring them in. If you want your kids to know God, you want them to experience God, then you help them to understand that his calling and his commands surpass everything in our lives. And that you bring them along if you have to. Bring them along, whatever it is. But kids, jobs, my tiredness, it doesn't change. I can't let that be what stops me. I can't, Yes, and in my natural flesh, especially in my American life, my thought is, I've got every right to step back and to take a break and to just say I'm done for now. But I don't know, and I don't say that as a burden. I say that to stir you up, that the grace of God is greater. He will show you. He will show you. And you're going to come to a place, and what you're going to find is when you walk in this and things seem crazy and things seem nuts and you're like, this is, you know, and you're trying to get ready in the morning and the kids are eight nuts and everything's, you know, and I got to get up an extra hour early because it's going to take an extra hour to hurt them, you know, and you're like, God, I need that hour. What you're going to find is that when you get to that point of exhaustion, and you're going to feel that energy of God pouring into your life, and you're going to feel more energized then than you ever had before. Robin and I often talk about when we started doing the college group down here, and we were meeting all the time. You know, we met the girls and the guys throughout the week, and then we had Friday night meeting, and then of course we were at church all the time. And we lived up in Zachary, and it was a 45-minute drive each way, and it was, you know, and we talk about that was some of the greatest times of our life, that we felt closer to one another than, you know, or we didn't feel separated from one another. We felt close to one another. We were energized. We were fueled. And that was with all of our jobs and, you know, and everything. She didn't have a job, but everything that was going on, she had a huge job at home with the kids. But, you know, yeah, it's worse. I mean, when she would go on vacation and I would keep the kids, I was like, oh, my Lord. So I was like, oh, my gosh, I want to go back to work. And but we were so energized. And so I want us to be stirred. You know the calling of God. You know what he's called us to. And in this last day, in this last hour, it's going to come upon us like a thief. And if we can't do it, if we can't do it when it's convenient, and I know you may be thinking, dude, it's not convenient. You know, do you have these kids? Yes, I've had the kids. I've been there. I've done that. It's not convenient. It's not convenient when I got to work all this time. That's, you know, those are minor compared to what's coming. And when it comes, when the trouble comes, the scriptures have already prophesied. There's going to be a falling away. And that falling away was not to the world. Paul wrote that to us, to the brothers and sisters in the body at the time. He wrote that to us and said, many are going to fall away. And I don't want us to walk in fear. I want us to claim these promises now and hold fast to those and then do it knowing that I don't have to fear that falling away. Because I am steadfast and immovable on the will of God. And my kids and my job and COVID and the other crazy things that are going to happen in life and bombard my life and all the troubles that Paul has said is coming to be united with the work, none of those things are going to move me. The grace of God is going to keep me, and I'm going to be right there. Now, I'll close with this because I did want to share this before we close. And that is that I just wanted to share again, I guess I won't share that. I'll come to this. I'll share this just as background for where we're headed. But you know, this has been the hardest few weeks. You know, Robin was telling me this is the hardest few weeks she's had ever. And at the beginning of the year, and some days it's just constant battling, constant struggle, and not with the pain, but with her heart and in her spirit, and. But it's been an incredible testimony, you know, watching God. And like just yesterday, she was sharing some more stuff with me, and we were talking, and we prayed together. And then I had to step out for a little bit. When I came back, you know, again, just as I've said before, she had worship meeting, and she was just praising God. You know, she was praising God, and she was weeping while she's praising, but she was praising God. And I just, it's such a testimony. And as we begin to face things, as we begin to do things, and we begin to feel that struggle, even if no one sees it, you know, as we talk about vanity, you know, I was telling her that the heavens see it. You know, nobody's at home with her. Nobody sees those things. But the heavens see it. And there is no greater place to testify than in the heavens. The angels stand in awe, not of her, but of what God would do in man, in broken man, in broken bodies. And the principalities and powers, they stand in awe and fear that this is what God does. This is what he's done. This is the power he brings in. This is the resurrection power of Jesus Christ active in the lives of humans by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's such a testimony. And I even thought last night when David said the thing about, you know, if you live in the Spirit, you know, if we walk in the Spirit man, that the soul, you know, if we live in the soul, our pain tolerance, and not literal pain tolerance, though that's part of it, I guess, as well, but our pain tolerance is so low that we'll give up. It's over. We have a limit. We stop. That's it. But man, when we're in the Spirit, man, there's no limit. It doesn't end. And I was just, you know, I was telling Mia, that's where Robin lives. And so I say that too, to say that I will share this, and this is something y'all can just be praying about over the next week or two. And that is that we do have an opportunity. We're meeting with, we talked to a surgeon last week, and there's a surgery that they can do that is called nerve decompression. And they've had really good success rate with the surgery, and in either eliminating or in vastly cutting the frequency and severity of migraines in patients. And I do think, just the way the Lord has kind of brought this about, you know, it seems like it's something the Lord could be leading us into. And so we have an appointment next Monday with the surgeon in Dallas. They're going to do an injection as kind of a test to see if they think she's a candidate. The other big struggle here is that one of the things he said that would keep her from being a candidate is the fact that she has to take narcotics to deal with the pain, which, well, that's a real catch-22. And so she's been trying here these last couple of weeks to cut off of that. And it's not that she's not addicted. I can tell you that. I've watched her for a long time, and I know she's not addicted. But when the pain's heavy, it's hard not to. And so pray for her in that she would have strength in that, because it's something she wants to do. So pray for her strength in that, and then pray for just wisdom as we walk through this, that the Lord's will would be done. Mm-hmm. And that if it is to be, that we would have favor with insurance, because he said that insurance often won't pay for it. And if they don't pay for it, then it's not, we're leaving that in Lord's hands, because that won't be a possibility. So just pray for those things. And so.
Do you mean next tomorrow?
Not tomorrow, but the following Monday. Okay. So we'll head over to Dallas and we'll do that for a day. So yeah, so just be praying about that over the next week. And so Father, we thank you for today, Lord. And God, just these words you've been speaking to us, God, write them in my heart. Write them in our heart, God. Move us. Keep us in your will, God. And then Holy Spirit, stir us and move us into the work of the Lord. Every single one of us, those that aren't with us today, those that are coming, God, that we don't even know yet, Lord, do this in us. Give us a knowing, Father, a knowing of your word, of your promises, of your commands, of your will, that we can walk this and know it's not in vain, and be excited about the reward that's coming, excited about the prize that we're racing for, and we can be excited for one another and what's going on, Lord. In these last moments, in these last days, God, we don't want to make it. We don't want to make it. We want Jesus to be exalted. We want Jesus to be seen. We want no one in our midst to fall away, God. We want your bride, your beautiful bride, to grow in beauty and splendor. So that soon coming wedding day, oh God, we'll all revel in it. And you will receive the great reward of your suffering, God. So do this in us, God. Write this in our hearts. Make us steadfast in it, Lord. Make us immovable. Let us abound always in your work. In Jesus' name, we thank you. We love you. Even now as we go into this service, God, do it now. Glorify your name. Magnify Jesus Christ. Let there be healings today. Let there be freedom today. Let there be rejoicing today. Let there be strengthening today, God, as you work through your perfect body. In Jesus' name, amen.
Caleb, you mind if I pray for you,
Robert? Amen. Please do.
Lord Jesus, yes, Lord, let this just be another testament, God, amen. How great you are,
yes.
God, how worthy you are. Lord,
yes.
We just speak and we plead your blood over them. Lord, in Jesus'
name. Amen. Amen. And last word, I want to say, I meant to say this, all I want to say this, is that I want y'all to know, and please pass this word around, that despite how Robin is, I've never seen her reject a phone call or a text. If somebody needs something, if somebody needs counsel, if somebody needs, they just need encouragement, if they're struggling, she will not reject it. And God, I watch God work in greater grace in her in those times. So don't ever think, well, I don't want to bother her. I don't want to disturb her. I don't want to, or me or anybody else. Don't ever think that. that, golly, do it. I mean, because again, that's when the grace of God just floods over her life, and I watch the faith rise up within her. So don't ever think because she's there that she's unavailable. That would break her heart if she ever found out that somebody just wouldn't reach out because of something. So please do.